everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, and every weekend we're here, we're doing life together, and we're glad you've joined us.
Well, Dr. Linda, it's been an interesting few weeks for college basketball fans, as we are in the midst now of March Madness, and I filled out my bracket.
Did you?
Yes.
I actually won the whole thing a few years ago. I just want to put that out there
and
say I won the whole thing at the medical school. Now, my husband is in the other room going, I helped.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yes, he did. But I'm a huge college basketball fan, Chris. Mm-hmm. I love college basketball. I think it's more interesting than the NBA.
Well, an incident happened recently prompting something that you want to talk about concerning fan madness and hostility directed to a player. Tell us about that.
So I was watching the Duke-North Carolina game. This was before March Madness actually started. And what happened is, now I'm going to say, you heard me, I'm an avid Duke fan, so maybe I'm a little bit biased in my perception here. But there's a player on the Duke team named Grayson Allen, and he has been in a little bit of trouble the year before. He was accused of tripping some of the players, and he got fouls for that. And as a result of that, Chris, the fans, every time he would come on the court, it was horrible. They would boo him,
right.
And every time he touched the ball, they would boo him. And it looked like this year he finally kind of got out of that. And then in this last game with UNC, mm-hmm. there was a controversial call. Looked like it could have been, to me, a typical foul, but the refs called it a flagrant one foul. And it started that whole thing up again.
Basketball players bounce off of each other a lot.
That's the truth, right?
Was it flagrant? It's hard to tell.
I didn't think it was.
Right.
But then, again, I'm kind of biased. But either way, whatever the fans believe to be the right call, there just wasn't any justification for the massive outpouring of hate that I saw on Twitter. It was vicious.
Right.
It was way beyond their displeasure for the play. The tweets were filled with violence. They were death threats towards him. And there was a ton of swearing and people trying to just personally shame him.
I would hate to be a young person or anyone today, for that matter, who makes a mistake in the public eye because of what people will do on social media.
So agree with that. My question is, you know, why is it okay to engage in that kind of mob hate towards a person on social media when we're trying so desperately to find solutions to the cultural violence that we've been talking about in the last few months in our culture? On social media, people just seem to be free to let go of hostility, to threaten violence. And I know that we have free speech. So I know that, you know, in some ways they can do that, right? People can say whatever they want, but that doesn't make it right. So that's where I sort of draw the line. When people were sending that kind of hate towards this player, it just got fueled like a fire and it became like this mob mentality. And you really have to wonder why somebody would watch a play like that, maybe not like the call on the basketball court, but then feel this intense hostility that they would want to send to somebody on social media like that. And to even wish a player to get injured because they didn't like the play. Just to me, something is just very wrong with that level of hostility over a basketball call.
Right, a basketball call. It, because of these hate messages, because they were on Twitter, they went viral, basically like a disease, which seemed to fuel even more hate, and cyberbullying takes on a life of its own.
And I know we've been talking so much about cyberbullying, what a problem it is in our culture. So to those who so carelessly attacked Mr. Allen, I wonder if your life when you were a teen or a young adult was scrutinized on social media and in the public square, how would people react to every decision and action that you made?
Oh, good question.
Would you never make a mistake? Would you like to be stoned for every wrong move you make, verbally abused for your poor decisions, or vilified on social media and shamed for your actions? Let him who is without sin cast the first stones.
Dr. Linda, you're not saying that people can't disagree with refs on TV about a call, but it's the way that they disagree that is the cause for concern for this level of hostility that's shown.
Right. You can say you disagree with a call. In fact, my husband yells at the TV regularly when he disagrees with a call. So you can call that ref into question. You can get upset. But spewing such vile hostility towards a college student and thinking that's okay is a serious indicator of the state of a person's heart. And that actually frightens me.
Right.
What I saw on Twitter scares me a little bit. The screenshots that I took were so awful, Chris, I don't even want to say what people were saying because I don't want to reproduce that. So in some ways, shame on us for allowing hate speech on Twitter in the name of sports. And shame on the fans and the non-fans who couldn't control their mouth when they didn't like something that they saw and that said things to a person that they would never say to someone's face. Well, maybe they would. And if they do, that would even be more disturbing, wouldn't it?
I doubt they would, because you can hide behind the
anonymity.
On your phone.
Yes. Yeah. And shame on our country for not reacting better to people with whom we disagree.
Well, this is reflected in many other places in our culture. For example, politicians who can't get along, they call each other names all the time. Angry drivers on the road. When's the last time you saw one of those?
I know. I don't even know these people, and they're
right.
Giving me hand signals
that
are not nice.
Right. Weird gestures. One does wonder why there is so much hostility toward people that we don't even know.
I know. And so this is one of the downsides, I think, to social media and technology, because it can unleash that kind of darkness in a person's heart. You know, what is it in there that is creating this kind of behavior? So feel free to disagree with somebody. But can we lose the hostility?
That would be nice. So today we want to look at the problem of hostility, another form of March Madness, if you will, and talk about the way hostility impacts the person and others. Dr. Linda, how would you define hostility?
Hostility is an attitude. It's really an attitude of scorning, disrespecting, disliking, hating another person with a conscious effort to hurt them. It's an emotional reaction between people, and it doesn't seem to be affected by logic. It's really aggressive, and it's really mean.
Right, and this lack of logic makes it really hard to handle. Why does this attitude seem to be growing?
I think there are a lot of factors with that, Chris. We seem to be more detached from our face-to-face relationships as we engage more with online relationships, and the more we detach from the community around us, we lose empathy towards other people. And we don't have the kind of accountability that we had in the past. You know, we don't have neighbors calling us into question and people getting on us when we do something wrong. So in some ways, it's the environment around us has loosened this type of hostility with no accountability.
And what fuels hostility towards others?
I think there's so many things that can create that in a person. You can feel threatened and get hostile. You can be humiliated. You can be ignored, attacked, manipulated. Injured by somebody. And if you don't know how to manage those really negative feelings that I just mentioned, then what happens is they simmer and they begin to grow. Sometimes they develop into resentment. And other times people are just jealous over somebody else. They're coveting something like their social status or their talents. And they really can't attain them themselves. So they just want to put somebody else down. In some cases, we're really looking at personal and social rejection is at the root of some of this. And, you know, maybe you disagree with somebody's core values. We see that a lot in the culture where people don't agree on some very core moral values and they resent it when people don't support them. And then they come after you. And we see this a lot in the culture wars.
Now, you saw this last one in action during a news segment the other day. Tell our listeners about this story.
So I was just channel surfing. And I saw this woman, so I really stopped because this was really interesting to me. She was a self-declared atheist. She was on a show because, in her words, this is what she said, I felt hostile towards four words that were displayed in a public square.
Okay.
Yeah. So the four words that caused her hostility were, in God we trust. And they were displayed in this legislative room in her hometown.
Right.
And she said that when she went in there, just looking at those words, Chris, she said, I felt hostile. I felt so offended. I have got to get them removed. That was her mission, get those words off the podium so she could feel safe.
So just reading and seeing these four words made her feel hostile.
Doesn't that seem irrational?
Somewhat, yes.
Yeah. I mean, she may not believe in God, but because her belief wasn't supported, she was hostile towards people who felt differently than she did. And she was on television trying to give full vent to those feelings.
Now, if I recall, there's a scripture that tells us not to give full vent to anger. There are reasons for this, but you'll need to stay tuned as Dr. Linda answers what the impact of giving full vent to anger is. More on the other side of the break on the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Is every spare minute of your life filled with some activity, event, or demand? If so, you could be suffering from a very common American disease. It's called overcommitment, and it has seeped into every area of our lives. I'm Dr. Linda, the relationship doctor, and yes, I'll admit it, I've fallen prey to overcommitment in my life just like I imagine you have. Saying no occasionally is the best defense against overcommitment. But if it's too late and you're already overcommitted, here's a little tip to help you make it through. In the busiest days, you can still stop and take five just for yourself. When your heart is racing and your thoughts are whirling inside your head, your effectiveness just plummets. But if you'll pause right in the middle of all the hubbub, maybe close your eyes, breathe deeply, and remind yourself that the current task will be completed, you'll feel an immediate sense of relief. Then you can head back into the job at hand with renewed focus and energy. And when the next chance comes to overcommit, it comes your way, you can work on your priorities by just saying, hey, no.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. And if you just joined us, we're talking about March Madness. Well, no, actually not the basketball tournament, but although we have discussed sports and the fact that it can bring out hostility towards others. And Dr. Linda, you wrote a small book entitled Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness. And this book is part of a series of books from the Breaking Free series. It's pocket-sized and it's cheap, but packed with helpful tips to understand and manage anger. And this is a high recommendation for me, especially since it's short and, well, it's easy to read.
I know you like that part, don't you?
Definitely. And people can order it on Amazon or go to your website, drlindamental.com, for the link.
So that Breaking Free series, Chris, mm-hmm. has been so helpful to so many people. When I speak at any kind of a conference or somebody's church, mm-hmm. that book just flies off of the shelf.
Oh, wow.
I think because it is small,
right.
and you can just stick it in a purse or you can put it in a pocket or mm-hmm. one of those sport coat pockets, you know, it actually fits in there. But it's got so many practical tips. And it talks about what Scripture says about anger and then psychologically what anger does to you. So it's a really great little book to have.
Well, Dr. Linda, before the break, we were talking about the danger in giving vent to anger. What does that do to a person?
Well, you would think that when you give vent to it, it would make you feel better, because I think that's why people do it.
Right.
And I know years ago in psychology, we were telling people just punch a punching bag or punch mm-hmm. your pillow or, you know, pretend that you're like hitting something to get rid of that anger. But what we found out is that venting anger just doesn't work. It actually fans the flames. So anger is more destructive when it's full on expressed. The expression of anger releases a whole bunch of bad hormones that are produced under stress, and it actually does damage to the body.
So all of these years of getting that anger out in some sort of physical way, it turns out that's not the,
not good.
The best way.
Wow. Not good. In fact, a hostile attitude can even lead to heart disease. There was a Duke researcher, there we go, good guy, right?
Right.
Who studied this, and he found that intense anger just wreaks havoc on the physical body.
Wow.
So feeling angry is one thing, but letting it all out in an unchecked way is worse than if you keep it in and repress it.
And we can probably guess, too, that hostility and anger in relationships don't work together.
No, it right. damages relationships. If you give someone a piece of your mind, you can destroy the rest of the pieces of that relationship. So not a good idea. And since we were talking about hostile tweets, here's a really interesting study. Researchers at the University of Pennsylvania and a few other schools got together and they conducted a study, and they decided that they would look at the language of tweets, and they were looking for expressions of love, mm-hmm. boredom, and then anger. And in the 1,300 counties that they studied, they found a remarkable predictor of heart disease. You know what that was? Angry tweets.
Angry tweets.
Yeah. In fact, angry and hostile tweets were such a powerful predictor of heart disease that they did a better job of prediction than 10 leading health indicators.
Who would have thought that in this day and age that Twitter would be a predictor of heart disease.
Of
our health, yeah.
It's a health indicator. We didn't even know it.
It's amazing. Well, that study is surprising and it's sobering at the same time. Why is that?
You know, we don't exactly know. There's some thoughts about it that maybe Twitter reflects some kind of a deeper frustration and that people who are tweeting that out are carrying a lot of stress, or maybe they're trying to create bad feelings in other people, or they just have bad feelings themselves and they just want to get it out and vent it, like we said. But all of that venting is raising their stress hormones, and they're not going to be in good physical health if they keep doing that. So whatever the case, perhaps fans or anyone else who is upset by something that they see on a TV game, mm-hmm. maybe we need to rethink our tweets and focus less on what angers us. Maybe try to give people a break
right.
and even offer them a little bit of grace. and focus on the positives that we see.
You know, that actually fits a biblical prescriptive when it comes to anger.
It does. And it's, you know, it's funny how God knows our design, isn't it? And he knows what leads us to flourishing in our lives versus doing harm to our bodies.
How does he know this stuff? Well, that's right. He was the creator.
Oh, yeah, the creator God.
So when we are faced with hostility and hostile people, what are some good ways to handle people and their strong feelings?
If somebody's really hostile, Chris, you do have to protect yourself. And I would not go online and read that social media. I hope his coach, and Coach K is a great coach, I hope he said to him, don't go online. Don't read that stuff. Don't let that stuff get into your soul. If you're not comfortable with somebody who's hostile in person, then you might have to walk away. You might have to leave the situation and maybe even sometimes contact law enforcement. But it's a good idea just to keep a healthy distance from people who are hostile and avoid engaging with them if you can.
You were talking about Grayson Allen with Duke, and I heard a coach tell the players one time, this was before social media, he said, stay out of the papers. Stop reading the newspaper because there's something in there probably, especially if they were good players, that they knew they wouldn't like.
Yeah, isn't it sad that people feel they have to tear a good person down?
Right.
That just is bothersome.
Dr. Linda, do you think when someone is hostile that they are trying to push your buttons and get you to react with aggression too?
I do. I think the hostile person is really trying to keep you off your balance or keep you off your game. And I'm sure those hostile fans were hoping that their awful reactions to that player would stop him from playing well.
Right.
He didn't actually play that well after that. Now that I think about it, they lost the game. Yeah. But the hostile person really wants an advantage. And if they can destroy someone with their hostility, then they have kind of taken them out of the competition.
That's true. That means you have to keep your cool and not react to these provocations. And it is hard. It's very hard to do that when someone is just goading you along.
I know. It means you really have to maintain your self-control, even if they're not maintaining theirs, right?
Right.
That means don't stoop to their level of hostility. That's why, for a person of faith, the power of the Holy Spirit operating in us is so important. That self-control that we can have through the power of the Holy Spirit is a result of being in the Spirit. That's a fruit of the Spirit, according to the Bible. And that fruit of the Spirit that motivates us to that self-control, it comes from love, Chris. And so we don't want to have a hostile attitude towards people. We have to remain motivated by love and try to see that person maybe as someone who's unhappy, who's really struggling with their life, and have some empathy for that person, although I know that's really hard to do when you're being attacked.
I'm concerned that we're losing some fundamental human rights like respect, expressing opinions without being shamed, and being verbally abused. People seem very out of control these days.
Unfortunately, we are seeing that in our culture. And, you know, we can only look at this and say, I have some power to deal with that in a way that I'm not going to return evil for evil, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that I can work and operate from a moral authority, which in our case is the Bible. It gives us our way to function. So I think you have to just stay strong in who you are as a person and what you believe in and try to operate out of that love.
Why do you think more people don't stand up to hostility?
It takes courage to do that. I mean, have you ever tried to go and talk to somebody when they've been very hostile to you?
It's not easy to
do. It's not easy. No. And we have to speak the truth, but we're supposed to do that in love. And when we try it sometimes, it hasn't always worked in every case.
Right.
When I've tried it, the person doesn't get less hostile. Sometimes they even get more hostile to you, and that's when you walk away.
Mm.
But the key is not to be triggered by their hostility or let that hostility control you.
That's right. Well, stay with us today as we go to the break. Much more on a different kind of March Madness, Hostility Unleashed. We'll be back in a moment.
From the moment we're born, we're in relationship. At first, we depend on others to take care of us, to meet all of our needs. Then as we grow older, we make friends, we meet school teachers, later a boss at work and a spouse at home. Every relationship is important. Every relationship requires cultivation and nurturing. And at some point or another, every relationship has its challenges and they revolve around conflict. Did you know that you can grow through conflict and become such a healthier you than you ever expected? Well, I want to help you look at conflict in new ways, to approach conflict in ways that work. My book, We Need to Talk, can help you become a better problem solver, learn to negotiate differences, and strengthen all relationships even when conflict seems destructive. Well, let's face it, Conflict is an unavoidable part of our everyday life, but conflict doesn't have to overwhelm you or destroy your relationships.
We Need to Talk, an important book by Dr. Linda Mental, is written to help you successfully navigate conflict. Find We Need to Talk wherever you buy books online. This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and let me remind you to check out Dr. Linda's books and blogs. Just go to her website, drlindamental.com, and follow her on social media. Today's topic is about hostility, a type of March Madness that we don't want to embrace.
That's right.
I would encourage you to get Dr. Linda's book, Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness, if you or someone you know struggles with hostile feelings. One of the things I really like about your writing, Dr. Linda, is that there is always practical help.
Well, thank you. I think so. I'm trying to give us some real strategies and tools to address this problem.
That's right. Well, give a few last-minute pointers to deal with someone who is hostile.
So number one, I would say remember that the problem is not you at that moment, right? Mm. Who has the problem? It's the hostile person.
Right.
People usually act out when their ego is threatened or something is motivating that, but it's not you. So you have to do the second thing, which is to choose not to let that person get under your skin and dictate to you how you're going to behave. So don't be afraid to call out that bad behavior when it happens.
This is the one step where we do have control.
We do.
Of the situation.
We do. We have control of our reactions, and we say this over and over on this show, that you can't always control other people, but you can control your own reactions to them. So remind yourself that you can choose whether or not you're going to take the bait and be suckered into that game. Don't engage in the behavior. Rather, try to diffuse it by staying calm. And the last tip I would say, Chris, is remind yourself that you can walk away anytime you're in a confrontation with a hostile person. You don't have to stand there and take it. You can just leave the situation or, like you say, click off of the social media right. And not engage anymore.
Well, for the person of faith, we just can't give in to hostile feelings. It's not okay to vent our hostility on social media or to another person for that matter. Say more about that from a biblical perspective.
Well, Proverbs 29:11 says, "A fool gives vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back." That's good wisdom right there.
Yeah.
And Proverbs 10:12 says, "Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses." It's clear from these two scriptures that venting is not wise, and it's going to cause more strife in our relationships. We need to look back at how we've handled this in the past, I think, and say, am I handling this really the way the Bible tells me to? Am I really trying to minimize strife in my relationship? And so if you hold back on hostility and you start to say, why am I feeling so intense to that person? Maybe that can stop you and get you to think about what your motive is there and figure out, is something wrong? Is there something I'm reacting to? Am I jealous? Am I insecure? Am I doing something just to feel better about myself in this situation? You know, ask yourself, what's going on with me in the middle of those feelings? And then if you can do that, you're really dealing with the root cause of the anger.
In Romans 8:7, Paul provides us with a spiritual reason why some people are hostile.
That scripture says, Chris, "For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot." So if we encounter someone whose mind is set on the flesh and not on God or the things of God, this verse is warning us that there's going to be hostility. In fact, it says they cannot. This gives us a little bit of understanding, I think, that there are spiritual forces behind this real intense hostility that we see from people. We have to think about, if people aren't motivated by God, they're motivated by something in their flesh, or it could be a dark motivation in the spirit. There could be a spiritual force behind that.
You like the second chapter of Ephesians to help explain the hostility that is in us before we became a person of faith. But through Christ, we are one in the church and should be united in peace, not in hostility. Why don't you read that part of the chapter?
So this is from Ephesians 2. It's the first 22 verses, and it says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air." There's that dark spirit. "The spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we have all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." So right there, Ephesians is talking about we all have been in this dark place in our lives before God, right? But then it says, "But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And then the chapter goes on to say, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing walls of hostility. And then we can be reconciled both to God and we can be reconciled to others in that process, but it's through the cross that Jesus has killed that hostility. I think that really is a clear understanding that people need God.
It's amazing where we were before Christ entered into our lives.
Right. So we're all in this dark place, and it doesn't mean that you're never going to feel angry, but we shouldn't, as people of faith, get to the point where we're feeling so hostile that we have to act the way we've seen people act. So we are really directed as a person of faith to put away that type of hostility.
Well, Dr. Linda, there's a long list in Colossians 3:8. It says, but now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. And this directive is in contrast to what the works of darkness look like in Galatians 5:19 through 21. Now the works of flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Boy, if you look at that list that you read, that's a long list. Fits of anger. You know, dissensions, that's all the stuff that's involved with hostility.
Right.
So we are held to a higher standard, and we need not be motivated by that type of hostility if we're a child of God. You know, if we want a world that is at peace and it kills hostility, like that scripture mentioned, it's going to take a transformed heart. So, Chris, I would say pray that people's hearts will be transformed through the good news of the gospel. Well, that's all the time we have today. Many thanks to our producer and social media director, Norm Mintel, our engineer, and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes the show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.